smoking all Nicky's cigarettes. We've been riding down this highway now for all these years, breathing in the dust along the way. But it's the kindness of a friend is what's remembered in the end. It is a debt, it is a pleasure to repay. And it never feels like we're getting any older, but the memories build up around the eyes. And I need more fingers than I got on my two hands, 'cause life may be too quick to survive. Dressed to celebrate your wedding day, we marched along the St. Anne's Parade, sang out odds while they sent away their dead. Sun shone on the river, we began our lives instead.
Welcome, welcome. You are listening to WMUC FM College Park. This is Josh Hananel with Roadside Picnic. And today I have a very special guest, my journalism professor, Rob Wells. How are you doing, Professor
Great.
Wells?
Great, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm glad that you can join. Today we will be getting into some awesome jazz picks. How are you feeling about this?
I'm feeling great. I got a little buzzy voice here on this thing. Is that thing
I know. I think
on your end?
It is a little strange. I kind of dealt with this a couple weeks ago.
Maybe I'll switch the mic.
Yeah, we can work on that, but I'll get started with the hourly PSA, and we will be back very soon. Thank you for tuning in.
Ever wonder why you feel like a complete zombie when your alarm goes off after 8 hours, if you're even lucky enough to get that much sleep? As college students, it feels almost impossible for us to get enough sleep. We're constantly told to get 8 hours, but is that really the magic number? Did you know that throughout the night, your body cycles through periods of light sleep and very deep sleep? Most people's sleep cycles tend to last 90 minutes, so if you aim for 8 hours, your alarm is likely to go off just as you're diving into deeper sleep. Try aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep and see how you feel in the morning. If you feel great, you probably nailed it and found your sleep cycle. If you don't feel perfect just yet, test out an 85 or 95 minute sleep cycle instead. Not only will you feel great in the mornings once you discover your magic number, you'll also add about 30 minutes of valuable time to your day.
All right, we are back on air. So today, Professor Wells and I will be playing some beginner jazz. What can you tell us about this playlist we got for today?
Well, this all started out, oh, I'm still buzzy, but anyway, it all started out, I have a nephew, Nick Wells, right? And I wanted to give him, kind of a basic framework for this music, because he was kind of interested in it. So I went around and I asked my friends, various musicians and people who know a lot about jazz, what are some of the iconic musicians that somebody who's just coming to this for the first time should know about, you know? Yeah. And so I got this whole list of songs, and I have a show on a NPR station in Arkansas where I used to teach called The Jazz Scoop, and so I did this show a number of years ago, but I think it's time to update it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I think today will be the perfect chance to update it.
Yeah.
Because my show could use some beginner jazz. I think my listeners could be put on to some good jazz.
So, you know, you've heard of Miles Davis, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Great trumpeter. Very wide, varied career. And most everybody said you got to play something from the Miles Davis album, Kind of Blue,
which yes.
We're going to play here in a bit. But I thought we should play something more modern by Miles Davis, because Kind of Blue is back in the 50s. We're going to play something, it's a blend of DC go-go and jazz. And in fact, it has the drummer from Trouble Funk, which was one of the great DC go-go bands, a guy named Ricky Wellman. So I don't think there's anything else we need to say. We ought to just play big time and freaking turn it up, man.
There we go. No more introduction. Yeah. Yes, that is perfect. I think this is the perfect, because I feel maybe like your nephew. I haven't listened to much jazz, but I think this will be the perfect introduction.
Miles Davis, big time.
Yes, and you're listening to WMUC FM College Park. This is Big Time by Miles Davis. Just one moment as we are figuring out this the audio for this. I apologize that this is not working out. Let's see. Because this is on the Dropbox.
Yeah.
Let me just figure out why this is not playing. But in the meantime, this is kind of a delayed intro. Sure. I feel bad about this.
So I'll just tell a story about this song. It's pretty hilarious. So Miles Davis was out touring the country, you know, and his roadies would come up to him and say, "Hey, man, we just heard something. You got to check it out." So he heard this go-go mixtape when he was coming through D.C.
Yes.
And he told his crew, he goes, "Who is that drummer? I got to get that guy." You know, and he has a history of, if Miles Davis gives you a call, you're going to be in his band, because then you're going to tour the world. You know, it's going to be a big deal. And so they got his phone number. And Miles Davis calls up Ricky Wellman's house at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, typical jazz musician hours. Say, "Ricky Wellman there," you know. And Ricky's wife picked up the phone. She goes, "Who is this?" And she thought it was a prank, so she hung up. And in the morning, you know, she said, "You know, there was some guy called at 3 o'clock in the morning." "Oh yeah, who was it?" "He said it was Miles Davis."
And, interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, they were able to make the contact. And Ricky ended up being the drummer on the last several Miles albums and tours.
Yes.
And he's got this incredible funky beat.
That is awesome. I like the way you told that story.
Thank you.
Very, very good narrative style. So yes, that is a very good introduction. And hopefully we can just let this beautiful song play.
Let it rip.
Let it rip.
there'll never be enough of us. Explosions on TV and
all plugged into the right spot.
This is so strange. I'm sorry about this, WMC listeners. The cable, because it, let me see. Let's just get it on the PC. Because this has never happened before. This is plugged in. Maybe it's aux 2, which it never has been before. Yes. Okay. Well, yes, here is big time. Thank you.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
We got it working, but it's there. It's there, yeah. I loved that.
So that's Ricky Wellman on drums. And coming out of the D.C. go-go scene, you know, we were just talking, you know, you walk through D.C., you hear these kids playing Plastic Buckets, doing this incredibly funky beat. This is the D.C. hip-hop, you know, the different flavors mm-hmm. of hip-hop around the country, and that's D.C. hip-hop. And the bands had two drummers. So the people would always be on the dance floor. And so yeah. It was nonstop. Yeah. And then the bass player is Marcus Miller, who is still around. Miles Davis passed away in the late 80s. And Marcus Miller is still doing his thing. He's a fantastic electric bass player, great composer.
You interviewed him.
I interviewed not Marcus Miller, I interviewed Ron Carter,
right.
Who's an old school bass player, and he played with Miles Davis back in the 60s. And Marcus Miller came in the 80s and actually shaped the final Miles Davis albums, produced a lot of this stuff. Wow. So you have killer bass player, killer drummer, you can't go wrong.
I feel like we need more of that, more of the to get the people moving.
Yeah.
I feel like I see people my age wanting to get up and move, but
right.
But there's two drum sets in a song is powerful.
Yeah. And so we actually began the set with Tito Puente.
Yes.
Playing All Blues. And so All Blues is a famous Miles Davis song from the late 50s, from an album called Kind of Blue, which is one of the great beginning jazz albums, end jazz album, any kind of jazz. It's just a beautiful, beautiful album. And it's very serene. You can put it on and study and so forth. But we're going to still keep people moving with Jimmy Smith here.
Yes.
Who's an organ player. And we're going to hear Back at the Chicken Shack.
Indeed. Get ready for some Back at the Chicken Shack. No introduction needed.
Back at the Chicken Shack. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith. Hammond B3 organ.
Beautiful, beautiful. Love the vibe.
Yeah. 1963.
Yes.
Back at the Chicken Shack.
I love that song name. I wonder what the story is with that.
I think it's probably like a nod to back home. You know,
yes.
A lot of these guys came in, their descendants came in from the farms and so forth. And
yes.
So the sax player on there was Stanley Turrentine. He was a very, very big deal. Kind of like a big star in the 70s, you know. And then the guitarist was Kenny Burrell, who is really one of the top flight guitarists, playing in a style that had a lot of soul and a lot of blues. So you hear blues and soul mixed in with jazz there.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely am feeling that. And I am feeling that vibe of coming back home.
Yeah.
That kind of, yes. Similar to some of the songs on the album Asia, actually, which we were talking about. But
yeah.
I am excited to get into... the D Natural Blues.
Yeah, so this is another really important guitar player. His name's Wes Montgomery, and he's actually from Indianapolis. And I was in Indianapolis last week, and I was at a museum for Kurt Vonnegut, and the museum curator says, "Hey, you know, Wes Montgomery was from here," and I kind of lost my mind, you know. But Wes Montgomery is a very elegant, very important, influential electric guitarist, jazz guitarist with a very unique sound. You know, there are not a lot of guitar players where you hear them and you go, wow, that's someone, that's Pat Metheny, that's Joe Pass, that's Charlie Byrd. This is Wes Montgomery's got a great sound.
Yes.
Also kind of rooted a little bit in the blues.
Yes. I can't wait to listen. And I do also want to ask, what is one of your more memorable experiences in music, whether that's a specific concert or just a moment that you remember as being very impactful for you?
So I've been going to the Newport Jazz Festival with my wife for many years. Yep. And we don't care if the weather's bad, we're going to go. And so we were out in a really, really bad rainstorm, and the kid brought one of our friend's kids with us, and his lips were blue, and he was shivering, you know, and we're all wet as hell. And this woman comes up on stage, and she's from West Africa. Her name's Angelique Kijo. And she says, "All right, I want you all to get up and dance. Don't care that you're wet. Just get up and dance." And so we did, and we warmed up, and then the sun came out. And so Angelique Kijo had the power to bring the sun out. It was just this really wonderful, joyous experience where we went from kind of like wet misery to warmth and beauty, and she had this warmth and beauty coming from the stage, you know.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And through that power of music.
Yeah.
But maybe speaking of the blue lips, what if we can get into some D Natural Blues?
There you go.
There we go. And some Wes Montgomery.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Duke Ellington.
The master.
The one and only.
The one and only. What got you into Duke Ellington?
It's, you just can't avoid certain people if you're looking into jazz.
Yes.
You know, you can't avoid Louis Armstrong. You can't avoid, you know, Charles Mingus. You can't avoid John Coltrane or... And you can't avoid Duke Ellington. And he is, you know, D.C. native, right? So it's just, there's a Duke Ellington Jazz Festival in D.C. in September. That's a very, very big deal. And, so he died in 1974. I think the thing that is amazing about Ellington is the sophistication of his arrangements and how he would arrange songs to play to the strengths of various performers in his band.
Interesting.
You know, so he would actually write in solos for Harry Carney.
For specific people.
Yeah. And I kind of ran my newsroom like that.
That's interesting.
I would try to find stories that my reporters would do well on and kind of get them into the place where they could succeed the most. And so I got that inspiration from Duke Ellington.
You know, I titled this episode Jazzy Journalism. So I did want to ask you, and maybe you can speak to that, but do you see any connection personally to you, any connection between jazz and journalism?
Well, both are involved with telling stories, you know. I think that live, improvisational jazz is speaking to the moment of our current time and space. So it's kind of like journalism in that regard. It's a reflection of our times. So on the show that I have in Arkansas, speaking of journalism, it's called The Jazz Scoop. And the last show, I had two very political, songs that will probably get me kicked off the air. But one was called, "Oh Lord, Don't Drop the Atomic Bomb on Me." And that was written by Charles Mingus back in the 60s when, there was a great deal of fear about nuclear war. Mm-hmm. It was humorous, but he was reflecting the time, and he was talking about, a current concern. So that was more like an editorial page journalism rather than than current time.
Yeah.
So I think, just thematically that they're both dealing with trying to reflect society, mm-hmm. and it's these artists with these incredible ability to transmit and reflect emotions through their instruments.
Yeah.
Are doing it.
I definitely see that, and that improvisation as well.
Yeah.
And kind of being able to adapt to the situations at hand.
Yeah.
Being able to riff off of whatever someone plays, I find that a very interesting idea.
And to read the room and to reflect the mood, or to try to push the rooms into a different place.
To a different direction.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have any recommendations for what should be next?
Yeah, I think we should look into go back to one of the giants, Charlie Parker.
Yes.
Night in Tunisia. And this is from an album, it's a compilation, The Very Best of Byrd, and he has Dizzy Gillespie playing trumpet on here. Charlie Parker was just enormously influential in the 40s, taking jazz music from when it was, big bands and, dancing and so forth, to a very, smaller ensembles that played at very fast tempos with really complex arrangements. So Parker was with Dizzy Gillespie, Thelonious Monk on piano, Miles Davis. They all came out of this movement, and it was really about black intellectuals asserting themselves in this music and kind of claiming it for their own terms. So this is Night in Tunisia by Charlie Parker. Thank you.